Blog Talk Radio.
I'm talking about Motown Maurice right down here in the state of Florida.
And we've got Motown Maurice of the Motown Maurice Show.
I want to introduce you to Motown Maurice.
We have special, special, special guest Motown Maurice.
Motown Maurice.
Speaking of crazy, we have Motown Maurice.
A man who is trying to put Tampa on the map for late night television.
He is not the next Arsenio Hall. He is the first Motown Maurice.
For those of you who haven't had a chance to experience Motown Maurice,
you have to understand he is very persistent.
And now he has transitioned
from Tampa to Los Angeles, California.
He's now in Los Angeles.
Continuing his pursuit of the quest of a late night talk show host.
Keep an eye on Motown.
Absolutely.
Keep an eye on that gentleman. One day this man is going to be the new face of late night.
Motown, we love you.
Motown Maurice, are you on the line?
And now, your host, Motown Maurice.
Wake up, everybody. Happy post-Thanksgiving. It is Black Friday, and I know everybody's out shopping when you should be listening to Motown Maurice's Hustle and Shovel, because all the deals are right here on the show. This is Motown Maurice, and I'm happy to be on the line once again, celebrating with you, bringing on new guests every day, Monday through Friday. Listen, check this out. I have a guest, unlike my previous guests. You know, every day I normally have a guest that's in the LA-based industry, you know, doing things in Hollywood. But you know what? Today, we're going outside of Hollywood to discover hometown heroes. You know, back where I'm from, Tampa, Florida, there's some people that consider me a hometown hero because I was on a mission to make late-night television the new stomping grounds in Tampa, Florida. Ultimately, I left, but I didn't forget my hometown. I didn't forget Tampa because I'm going back and we're going to do big things there, and I'm in Hollywood now. But every city and state's got their heroes that are dedicated to putting their city, their state on the map. And that's who I got right now. I got a hometown hero. He's a rising star, working with rising stars from Cleveland, Ohio. Yes, where Cleveland rocks. He's lighting up small screens. He believes in the people of Cleveland, Ohio. Currently, he's working on all kinds of different projects and television shows, because there isn't one in Cleveland right now, a television show based out of Cleveland. He's telling stories. He's writing stories. He's producing stories. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Alex P. Michaels of Prelude to Cinema Entertainment. Yes, yes, yes. Alex P. Michaels, are you on the line?
I'm on the line, sir.
Yes, yes. How are you doing today?
Hey, Motown, I am doing great, and I'm so happy for the opportunity to spread the word about Cleveland, about Prelude to Cinema, and to get out there and just talk my talk.
Hey, that's what we're going to do. This is what the show's all about, talking your talk. How's the weather in Cleveland right now?
You know, it is nice. It's like 60 degrees out. There's no snow, which is we hate here. But I mean, it's nice weather out for Cleveland, man. It's shocking.
Well, that's good. That's good. You know, I went ahead and told the meteorologist to send over some of L.A.'s weather for you, just a little bit.
We appreciate that.
No problem. But, oh, man, I failed to mention in the introduction that you are also an Emmy Award-winning writer. Is that not so?
That is so.
Let's clap it up for that. Let's clap it up for that. You know, I'm moving up in the world because I ain't never interviewed anybody that got an award. So this is a groundbreaking interview for me. You know, I got to be on my best behavior. You know, so let's talk about this. Now, from my understanding, the award is an Ohio Midwest Emmy Award, correct?
It was thanks to a great guy named Jim Friedman, white guy who wanted to help minority writers. He started a award show called Dreambearer Celebration, and along with backing from Procter & Gamble, produced 10 movies, and one of them was mine. Mm-hmm. And it won an award for Emmy, and the lead actors, Greg Lauren and Amazon White, they also won Emmys, too. It was called What Angels Fear. And it was it's great. I'm looking at it now.
Yeah,
a little glass case and everything for it. Yeah.
Wow.
I ain't got to make money with it, but it is nice to have
Wow. So when you get the Emmy, it doesn't come with a check?
Nah, but I did get some money for the winning an award for the competition and stuff.
Okay, that's really nice. That's really nice. So that must have been winning that Emmy. Yes, that's I could imagine. And winning an award like that or just getting these type of accolades must have really gave you a jolt of energy and creative boost to just go off and start your production company and get things started, correct?
Yeah, like I said, I started a production company, Prelude 2 Cinema, number 2, and we produced a movie kind of based on the What Angels Fear right afterwards, and it helps a lot when you're trying to go after money and sponsors, you know, when you're having an award like that, you know, because they give you a little bit of credence, you know, and stuff, you know, that, and it always can't, you know, Emmy, Tony, Oscars, those things stick with you.
Yeah.
And it's great that, but I gotta really thank Jim, because without Jim Friedman, I wouldn't have the opportunity and stuff.
Nice, nice, nice. So let me ask you this, when you go out, like, you know, to dinner, to the mall, you know, to the movies, you take the Emmy with you, you know, do you bring it?
I did an interview with a reporter one time. She said, what do you do, carry that around your neck or something? Nah, I think about it, though.
Hey, that might not be a bad idea.
I did for a little while, but, you know, it's still about the work, though. You still got to produce, you know, it's like, what's the next thing? You still got to be producing more stuff and everything.
Yes. So your company, Prelude to Cinema, it's a movie and marketing company, right?
Yeah, and I stress marketing because I believe in product placement, where you actually place products in the shows, but a type of product placement called branded entertainment, where you actually weave the product into the show. We did a television show, Out of Darkness, and we had Lucy's Sweet Surrender, which is the bakery, and so it was a cop show, and our cops would stop at Lucy's Sweet Surrender, which made sense. And in real life, real cops stopped there, and Massimo Down Milano, which is an Italian restaurant. We had seen where our fictional mayor did a press conference there. And in real life, the real mayor of Cleveland does press conferences there. So that's brand entertainment. But you have to be really careful when you stick products in the show that you're not making a commercial instead of telling a story. Because story is all important.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that independent filmmakers like myself have over Hollywood. We can afford to tell bold stories where they can't, you know, because they put so much money behind the product that they tell the same story again. And, hey, I love Bruce Willis, but do we need Die Hard 5, okay? You know? And every sitcom is trying to recapture the Friends sitcom, you know?
Yeah.
But it's, you know, but, I mean, independent filmmakers, we can have, you know, this unique voice and speak out there.
Yes. I want to get more into that voice that you are also creating on through your company, through your channel for independent filmmakers, because we need more of that. There's great work out there, and I commend you for going out to seek that work and putting it out there for the people to see and witness. But before we talk about that, I believe we got somebody on the line that wants to talk to you. This is Motown Maurice. You're listening to Motown Maurice's Hustle and Shuffle. I got the one and only Alex P. Michaels of Prelude to Cinema on the line right now, and somebody from the area code 562 wants to talk to you. 562, say your name and your question or your comment. You are on the line right now.
My name is Sunshine, otherwise known to Alex P. Michaels as Ray Lee. How the heck are you? That's not my question. Good. It's really good to hear you. That's wonderful. I'm glad that you're doing so well. And the one thing that I wanted to share with the both of you is the thing about your Emmy. That's a fabulous. It's a way to open a door. It's like you don't have to carry it around with you when people know that you have it. And before I left Cleveland, I submitted a CD to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which is still in the archives. I don't have to carry it with me. I just tell people, and it opens doors. So I'm really glad that you have that, Alex. That's a wonderful thing. You're welcome. And what you're doing for independent film is fantastic. I'm glad that Out of Darkness went well. I'm sorry that I couldn't be in it. That would have it was a wonderful project. Did you ever finish it?
It's still kind of working. I'm going to revamp it right now. We kind of run out of funds.
I understand.
Yeah, you understand that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the bottom line.
I worked with a lot of that in Cleveland, okay? But, but you know, and the thing about independent filmmaking is, yeah, you have to go out and get funds, and that's what you have to do. But the difference is it's an alternative. It's not a replacement. It's an alternative for the stuff that goes on in Hollywood. And personally, and I really don't care who hears this at this point, with what's going on with reality TV in Hollywood, I am so very thankful for independent films and for shows like the Motown Maurice Show, where you can actually have the opportunity to get your stuff out so that people can hear about it. Because, Alex, you have a lot to say and a lot of really good stuff to accomplish. So you've got Out of Darkness going. What else is going on?
Well, we're doing Prisons of Summer TV. We're going to do an online channel, and I'm going to try to give a voice to other independent filmmakers out there to get not just my work out there, but get their work out there as well.
Well, then hooking you up with Motown Maurice was a really good thing to do.
Oh, I appreciate that. I was about to say thank you for that one.
Oh, you're welcome. With the things that he did in Florida, did you pull him up on YouTube?
Oh yeah, you Google everybody.
Okay, good.
I haven't heard of everybody, but you know you Google everybody.
No. Listen to me. If you go to YouTube and type in Motown Maurice and look at the first show he did, his first guest was Bernadette Stanis from Good Times. And it is the most hilarious thing that you'll ever hear. His last guest was the mayor in Florida. You've got to see those. Now, this is the kind of guy that you're hooked up with right now. So keep him in your hip. Keep him in your hip pocket.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and it's really good to hear you out here. It would be nice to see you out here. Just if you come out here, don't let them swallow you up. They tried to swallow me. I bit back. Then I met Motown Maurice. Alex, you're welcome. It's great to hear you. You guys take care. And I'll keep listening. Bye-bye.
Absolutely. Thank you. You gotta love some sunshine.
Indeed. Oh, I know sunshine. She is sunshine. Yeah.
Yeah, she is the sunshine of my life right now because, you know, not only did she get you as a guest, she got helped me get another guest recently a couple weeks ago, Clem Pennington. She's just an awesome individual. So when she says something, it has backing to it. It definitely does. So she mentioned she got you talking about your company and the online channel. So you told me about like an interactive soap opera you want to do and anthology type program.
Yeah, I grew up watching like the Twilight, not like old, but you know like the old Twilight Zone, and they were great little stories. But you know when you get older and you start producing movies, you watch things from a producer standpoint too, and you say, okay, how much does this really cost? And a lot of old Twilight Zones, they weren't huge on special effects, but they were huge on story. And there's a great one with just Robert Redford and stuff and this old lady. And, of course, if you had a great talent like Robert Redford and the old lady and stuff, I figured I wish I knew it. But it's a lot of stories were really tight because I read a story about Rod Serling, and they didn't have much money. So they had to focus on telling these great stories to people. And that's what we can do as independent filmmakers, take a cue from them. And I want to take I want to do really tight little stories that don't cost a lot of money, but tell things that Hollywood won't touch, you know. And I'm a real big thing about multiracial casting and having all different cultures in the story and everything. And so that's what I want to do with. I also want to do an independent a web series that's kind of like a interactive soap opera where I would let the audience decide the storyline because. When people get into soap operas, they just go crazy about them, you know.
Wow.
And that's something that can go on and on and on. And you never hear a storyline where the audience could participate in it, you know.
You can't
have like these reality shows like Sunshine talked about, you know, which I'm not crazy about. But, you know, I think the thing with them is people vote, and people love that voting because they feel that they're part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But if he had something dramatic that people could actually get part of, too, that would be better. You know, you could actually have actors instead of just people off the street. And the reason why they do reality shows is basically they're cheap.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And, yeah, as a producer, I know, you know, fatigue.
Exactly. So what's the take on, like, you know, that recently the ongoing sagas of All My Children, I think it came to an end already, but they're supposed to be going online. How do you feel about that? Like, All My Children and some of the soap operas that ran for over 20 years going online. You think it's going to be successful, those?
Well, I kept up with that, and they're not doing it. They were going to do it, but I think they crunched the numbers. I mean, this is like a decision like happened like just a couple of days ago. They crunched the numbers, and they couldn't get all the actors back, and they had to deal with the same thing they had to deal with if it was on the air, you know, cost and production and unions and everything.
Mm.
And they say it just wasn't feasible for them, you know,
yeah.
and everything to do it. I mean, it would have been a great thing. But maybe if they had, like, taken the thing of, like, splitting off some of the characters
mm-hmm.
and making a little soap opera about them, but to put something like a soap opera online, you can't really do it because it would be too much money.
Wow. So that doesn't...
Really
that backfired on them, does that concern you at all in your process of making your soap operas? Or is it learning lessons?
Although my family grew up with Teamsters, and so I'm a union baby, I don't have to deal with unions. So you know, I have to get sponsors, and I can pay people whatever. And I wouldn't have the same cost. Because like I said, I would do like the original Twilight Zone did, and do stories that, you know, with just a couple of actors and a couple of locations and everything. And that's the reason why I stopped doing Out of Darkness. It just got to be too costly. You had one episode, like a 30-minute show. You had one episode with like 12 different locations.
Yeah,
it got kind of unwieldy. So this time I would step back and do something a little bit smaller. And as a producer, you have to keep those things in mind, you
mm-hmm.
know, the cost and stuff, you know. I mean, and it doesn't, it isn't detriment to the story. You can still tell a great story, but you just have to, you know, set boundaries for the number of people in the story and the number of locations.
Mm. Wow. So... what I want to talk about, you're creating stories and you got these projects and most of your funding has been coming through product placement, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to understand that because I've learned about it recently and it's not something that I've done on my own and I need to do a little bit more of it. So product placement, is that like me walking through a film with like Hanes underwear and the audience can recognize, oh, that's Hanes underwear? I mean, how is product placement exactly identified?
Well, there's a form of product placement, which I use called branded entertainment, which is better. You actually make it a realistic part of the show. With your show, it's just natural for a host to say, hey, we're sponsored by such and such thing. But when you're doing a dramatic piece, you can't stop in the middle of it to show a commercial.
Mm.
Or, you know, they see the episode of Smallville where the girl's trying to get in the place Lois Lane, and she's, like, showing off her car. And I'm thinking to myself, she's not going to show off her car, you know? I mean, it just stops the story cold when they don't make it realistic,
mm-hmm.
you know? But we did, mm-hmm. like, in Out of Darkness, where we had, like, the cops at the bakery and the cops at the restaurant. That was a realistic thing. So you have to be really and it hurts the product, too. When you have a commercial within a dramatic storyline, it hurts the product if you don't show it right. Because everybody then gets annoyed because you're stopping the story to sell us some Coke or sell us I mean Coca-Cola, not Coke.
So you can't.
Are you?
Okay, I see the difference. Like my live talk show, I can say, "Hi, I'm drinking Coke and I love it," but you can't kind of do that in a film. In a film, you just can't say, "This Coca-Cola is so good and it's calorie free." You can't do that.
Oh yeah, there was one scene, I forget the movie, where they're sitting at a table. And they kept doing it from different angles, and yet the product, you know, let's say Pepsi this time, the product, you could always see the product can, the name of the product. And I'm thinking, if you change the angle, you're showing the guy from the back, you're showing him from the front, and yet they're making sure to turn the thing so you can already see the name of the product. It was so unrealistic, you know?
Mm. Wow.
And already Superman 2, when he's doing the fight scene, he gets thrown into a Marlboro truck. And then he gets thrown into a Coca-Cola sign, and it was just, you know, Lois Lane is drinking Tropicana orange juice and stuff, and she's smoking Fargo's. I mean, there was like, there's a scene in the Fantastic Four where Johnny comes out, you know, with all these labels on his thing. But Wayne's World did a funny version of product placement.
Oh, really?
Because we would not bow to product placement when I opened the Pizza Hut thing. So, I mean, you can, you know, if you can do it like that, but even Wayne's World, it worked because it was a comedy. They can get away with that stuff.
Yeah. Wow. You know, and I can just imagine, you just got an eye for these things. You just detect it, like, off the bat.
Sometimes it hurts when you're a movie maker that now that, you know, it's hard to watch movies for enjoyment. So a movie to me really has to be good to, like, make me stop looking at the production values of it and such and everything, or thinking, hey, if I was doing that, I would have did it this way and everything like that, you know. I just want to enjoy it, you know.
Yeah. I start to notice these things. Like last night, I was actually watching a red box of Limitless, the movie. I forget the star, Robert De Niro's in it.
And at the very end of the movie.
Oh, I won't tell you the end, but I won't tell you it's actually a good movie. Check it out. But the very end, he's in this penthouse type area, and he just moved in, and the boxes clearly is Two Men in a Box, the moving company. So I'm like, okay, that's product placement. You know what I mean? Because that's like a well-known company.
When you notice it, it's really bad. When it comes out and strikes you in the face, then anything that strikes you in the face is product placement. You know, brand entertainment is when it's just a natural part of the story.
Oh, I got you.
And I think like that was great to get some sponsors here for Out of Darkness and everything with Predator Cinema. But I want to do more of it and get more national sponsors, especially when we launch Predator Cinema early next year, and just kind of match the sponsor to the product. Like if I have an independent film about, you know, a family and such, you know, maybe some baby stuff or, you know, baby clothes or something would be a natural part for that show. You know, a cop show, the Red Bull might be good. You know, if that cop's drinking coffee, they're drinking Red Bull.
So are you reaching out? You mean you got a lot of projects going on, you got some stuff that's coming out next year. Is your talent exclusive to Cleveland? I mean, are you looking for talent in L.A.? Because L.A. is where everybody goes for talent. Even if you're an actor in New York, it's hard for actors because the shows often look for talent in L.A. So what's the process?
Well, I want to look for, like, I want to get independent films from, like, all over. But I want to kind of, as far as actors and everything, I want to, like, I still want to shoot some stuff here. I want to have my stuff shot here, like, The Out of Darkness, again, and some of the Prince Cinema TV anthology series, I made the web series. But as far as L.A., L.A. has some great talent, but, like I said, everybody's out there. And I can't afford to live out there anyway and stuff, you know. But it's, you know, it's possible to do the stuff here and then maybe connect out there or maybe go out there and shoot something or have somebody shoot something and send it back here and such, you know. So it'd be great to have that connection out there. But right now, I still want to keep the base of Predator Cinema in Cleveland, you know, and build up on Cleveland, you know. And there's a lot of other filmmakers here making stuff, too, and I want to connect with them. And that's how me and Sunshine met. A guy named Robert Banks was doing the film, and I do acting too, and we were actors in his film.
Nice. Very nice. Very nice. So, I mean, overall, they're just not doing enough producing of films and television in Cleveland. Wasn't the Drew Carey show in Cleveland? I don't understand. Wasn't it?
Drew Carey, and, you know, it's a great, wonderful thing for Drew Carey. Drew Carey, they shot, like, the opening scenes and the credits here. But of the 10 years that Drew Carey shot, there was not one episode that was actually shot based in Cleveland. I think the first episode they did. Oh, yeah. And the first episode, they did a show about the Rocky Horror Picture Show. And I used to work at the theater, the CLA Theater, where they had that picture show. And everything was wrong on the street. And I'm thinking, whatever. But that show was all shot soundstage L.A., you know. The only thing in the you know, was just they said Cleveland a lot.
Yeah.
And it's like hot in Cleveland, and hey, I'm grateful they're promoting Cleveland in a sense, but I would love it for them to, you know, they should take hot in Cleveland and actually come here and do a show in the streets of Cleveland. In fact, 30 Rock did more for Cleveland. They actually, one of the writers was from Cleveland, and they actually had a show with Nia's Lemon, went to Cleveland, and they came here and shot here.
Wow.
And they talked about how great and wonderful Cleveland was, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, Drew Carey never shot in Cleveland. Never.
Wow. Are you the chosen one for Cleveland? Are you like that hero that with the shaft of light that's going to put Cleveland officially on the mic, on the map? Are you?
Yeah, right. I wanna do my part, but there's a lot of other filmmakers here. There's Robert Banks is here. Dave Gutter's got Johnny Wu, who just did a Superman movie, which is really great. There's a lot of other talented filmmakers here, and I just want to be one of the guys doing my part. But I think there's enough room for all of us and stuff, you know. Although, of course, you know, like any place, we got egos and all that kind of stuff because that's just the nature of the business.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not the chosen one, but there needs to be some money behind the filmmakers here. And that's the one thing that we're missing,
mm-hmm.
that there's not any businesses or not any money. Or, in fact, no one thinks that we can make money off of it, and that's why we
mm-hmm.
are doing it, you know. I mean, Hollywood came here and shot some movies, like the Avengers and stuff, but they just come here to save money, which is, nothing's wrong with that. Hey, I'm a producer. I would go somewhere and save money, too,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I don't know. I'm like, no, not the chosen one. I don't want to say that. They might really get mad at me then. He's the chosen one.
No, I respect your response because it's a collective effort. No one person can do it by themselves. You and
right.
multiple people got to get to, that's how Hollywood was built, not by one person. You know,
yeah.
It was built by all like-minded people who wanted to make
yeah.
that the film and television capital of the world. And
Hollywood's really competitive, though. I mean, even back in the day, they used to, like, have people riding shotgun, literally shotgun, so the other theaters wouldn't take their movie cans away, and they still do that today. But
mm-hmm.
they do the work, and that's
yeah.
the bottom line thing, you know. And every now and then, they'll come together on the movie. Like, you know, Walt Disney may make the movie, but Paramount may distribute it. If they can make some money together, they would do it. But they go back to their competitive thing all the time. But they make the movie and they get them out there, and that's the main thing, too.
Exactly.
Getting the stuff out there.
I mean, Warner Brothers... Yeah, Warner Brothers' lot is across the street from the Universal lot, and they work together, and that's just how it is. They literally do. They literally do.
It feels comparative, but they will, like the Star Wars stuff. Star Wars may be, George Lucas may be competing against everybody else, but he makes that sound system, the ILM. And,
mm-hmm.
He does, like, the special effects, so he doesn't care that Spider-Man came out and made some money because I think they were doing the effects for that and stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So they have their hands and stuff, so they know about, they can compete, but they can also come together, too. And I have a partner here, Brian Anderson, who's a filmmaker, too. Me and him, we come together and make movies, you know, but we don't really compete against each other, but we make our stuff together, you know.
And that's what you're supposed to do. That's what you're supposed to do. So as we wrap up this show, go ahead and tell everybody about the projects that you got working on and lead them to your website.
Well, Prelude to Cinema, the number 2, which is very important, is going to be launching Prelude to Cinema TV, anthology-type TV series. We're going to do an interactive soap opera, and I'm going to have some more episodes of Out of Darkness, which you can actually buy from Amazon if you go to the Prelude to Cinema website, and you can Google it. I'm Googleable, too. And we're just going to do more work, and I'm working with Brian Anderson on the real important film called A Day of Racism, and we're going to get that out this coming year. So, you know, 2012, that's the year.
2012? I've seen some good things happening.
Yeah, because according to the Mayans, the whole world's going to end in 2012, at the end of 2012, so, you know, I got to do stuff now.
Well, hey, with the things that you got going on, I think 2012 is only the beginning. If you ask me,
thank you,
I think it's only the beginning. Thank you so much. Tell them that website one more time so they can find you.
Prelude2cinema.com, and that's the number 2.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, the Emmy Award-winning writer, Alex P. Michaels, on Motown Maurice's Hustle and Shovel. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, sir.
I know I took away your time from being out there on those Black Friday sales, so I really appreciate that.
I called you.
Well, thank you. Well, before you go, Can you have time for one more question?
Sure.
Yes. Just one more question, if you don't mind. And that question is, would you happen to know who's the future of late night television?
Well, you can tell I heard it confidentially, but it is Motown Maurice.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about. You know the answer, and now everybody knows the answer through you. Thank you very much, Alex
P. Thank
you. Michaels. Until next time, keep on creating, keep on doing what you're doing. You take care and be blessed.
Okay.
All right. Alex P. Michaels, ladies and gentlemen, of Prelude to Cinema in Cleveland, Ohio, where it rocks. Cleveland rocks. I might have to take a trip out there and be a part of those productions. Yo, Alex, hook a brother up. You know what I'm saying? Put me in a production or two. I'm all about expanding my horizons. I don't have to be in L.A. forever, but I like what you're doing, and I like that the fact that you believe in the people of Cleveland, and you're making and creating opportunities, working with filmmakers, working with actors, and telling stories. It's a beautiful thing, and it's a beautiful day. Thank you again, Alex. Keep on doing. This is Motown Maurice. You're listening to Motown Maurice's Hustle and Shuffle. Happy Black Friday, everybody. Relax and digest all that turkey you had yesterday, because I know it's still in your stomach. Check out my website, MotownMaurice.com. That's MotownMaurice.com. Until next time, thank you. Be blessed. God bless as the quest continues the future of late night.